From the Stockyard in Brighton, this is the Boston College Football Show with Bill O'Brien, presented by Bud Light. For the next hour, we'll get you caught up on everything BC football. The Boston College Football Show is presented by Bud Light, proud sponsor of Boston College Athletics. Easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Please enjoy responsibly. And also brought to you by McGovern Auto Group, the official auto group of Boston College Athletics. It's time to talk BC football. Here's John Meter Perrell.
And welcome to the premiere edition.
Wow.
I feel like I'm at the Academy Awards.
Yeah, well done.
Well done. We don't even have the applause. It's like Jay Leno has the applause. We don't have that. But thank you, everybody, for joining us here at the Stockyard. I am John Meter Perrell. From February 9th to the dawn of a new era in BC football, Bill O'Brien, Pete Cronin, my partner on the broadcast here, of course, Mr. BC. Bill, welcome to the Stockyard. How are you?
It's great to be here, guys. Thank you very much. It's good to be with you guys and good to be with these people here. And it's awesome. We're excited about the start of the season and ready to get going.
Certainly a long haul for you. Monday night is the culmination of 20 fall practices, spring ball, a lot of organizational meetings, a lot of meetings every day, administrative duties. But how do you feel on the eve of the season?
Yeah, no, you're right. You know, it's interesting you say that. You know, a lot goes into football, right? It's not just the X's and O's. And, you know, we got hired in February and quickly met with the players, put a staff together, and before you know it, winter conditioning started. And then that segued into spring practice, which was very, very good. These guys really did a good job in spring practice. And then summer training was very good. And training camp's been, you know, a tough physical camp for these guys. You know, they've bought in. They've emptied the tank in training camp. And you can't ask any more from these guys from what they've given us. And this week of practice has been good. And, you know, we'll show up. We'll be there on Monday night.
Now, I was at practice today, and a good indication that there's buy-in. I was talking to your coordinators after practice, and I'd say about a third of the team was on the field in voluntary workouts, doing stuff just to get better without the coaches.
Right.
That to me is testimony that they are buying in.
Yeah, no, that's a great point, Pete. I appreciate you, you know, observing that, because we in order to develop players, the players have to be, you know, coached every second of the day, especially out at practice and the meetings and the walkthroughs. And then with some of these younger players who may not get a lot of playing time right away, this is the future of Boston College football. You know, if you look at the, you know, the different positions that work after practice, but also the veteran players are out there helping the younger guys, and the coaches obviously stay out there with them. So that's a big part of what we do. I learned a lot about that in New England when I worked for Coach Belichick there. We did a lot of post-practice work, and you saw guys really get better throughout the season, and then the following year they ended up playing for you. So that's really what that's all about.
But isn't that the essence of college football? Now, who knows, probably another rule coming where they can play till they're in their 40s. But, you know, I hope not.
There's a ninth-year tight end in Miami.
Here we go, Pete.
Don't give him any ideas, right? there's always this constant turnover. So you come in as a young underclassman. Maybe you don't play. Maybe you do. But over the course of time, the people in front of you, they go elsewhere. Then it becomes your turn.
That's right.
And you get a bunch of guys in this team, it's their turn.
That's right. That's right. And I think that one of the things that goes into that is the veteran players that you have on your team. So, you know, if you just look at the six captains, like these are great role models for these young players to follow, right? Ozzie Trapillo, Drew Kendall, Tommy Castellanos, Donovan Azaraku, Cam Arnold, and Joe Marinaro. You can't ask for six better role models that have been here for a while and have, you know, gone through some ups and downs here, but are great leaders. And these young guys can watch these guys, how they work, how they stay after practice, how they lift weights, how they condition, how they operate on campus, you know, in a great way as ambassadors of Boston College football. So we you're exactly right, and hopefully, you know, we'll see the rewards of that later on.
We saw a dynamic quarterback last year with Tommy Castellanos, 1,100 yards rushing, well-documented his stats, over 2,000 yards passing. You said coming in he has to be a more precise passer.
Yeah.
Get up over that 60% projection.
Yeah.
Is he there?
Yeah, I think he's had a really good offseason. I mean, he's put a lot of work into it. You know, he's done a 180, to be honest with you, from the time we walked in the door here to where he is now. Now, of course, he's got to keep it going, and it's got to show up on the field, on the game field. We understand that, and he understands that. But, you know, for the work that he's put in and where he's come from to where he is right now, I'm very proud of that guy. You know, he's worked extremely hard. He you know, I think I told you the story the other day. Like, you know, this guy shows up at 6 a.m. and goes over to the fish and goes through the script with Dibs.
Yeah.
Every day of training camp. Every single day he's over there. And, you know, that's preparation. That's really making a big commitment to your position and to your team. And I think that, you know, he's done a really good job of that.
Well, I spent time with him last year on Media Day. And he was then just a transfer and kind of an afterthought and was not the projected to be in the mix, obviously, but not to be the projected starter. And I remember the nature of the conversation. Well, I interviewed him again this year, and I remarked to Meter the maturity change in just the way he explained himself, the way he articulated what he wanted to accomplish. It seems like he's come a long way in a short period of time.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. You know, I think that he's become a more, you know, consistent player, a more consistent student. He's been a guy that really has contributed in the community. These guys do a great job. I got this great email this morning from Kara Hardiman, who runs the campus school, which is near and dear to my heart, as you guys know, probably. Yep. And so, you know, we had like 30 guys show up there yesterday for a big opening of school celebration. I mean, and Tommy's part of that. You know, Tommy, you know, was at Rosie's place last week. I mean, he's done a great job of committing and understanding what Boston College is all about. Got to keep it going. In the end, you know, he's going to be judged as a quarterback based on, you know, does the team move the ball and does the ball end up in the end zone and do we win the game? He understands that. But, you know, the process that he's committed to get to that point to where we are right now, you know, like I said, I'm proud of him.
But see, you're on to a very important point with your hiring. There's really no, you know, there's no cultural education for you. You know, you know this place. You've been around it.
Mm-hmm.
And what you talk about, I've heard you and on your podcast. You talk about, you know, you're not gonna go buy a team here.
No,
The kids want.
You don't want to.
They need to want to come here for a series of reasons.
That's right.
Many intangible.
That's right.
And that may be one of them.
You know, Pete, like, you know this way better than anybody, that there's been a lot of good football teams here and a lot of great football players. In the end, you know, these guys that are on our team right now, they come from really good families. They care about each other. They care about Boston College. You know, when I got here, I'm not sure how much they actually knew about Boston College. I believe we've done a good job to this point of educating them, whether it's, you know, Father Jack Butler talking to the team or Father Tony Penna or Shauna Cooper Whitehead or Dr. Carl Bell last week spoke to the team. I mean, you know, we've had several BC guest speakers speak to the team, and all of them have talked about the experience of BC. You know, you can be good at a lot of different things at BC. You don't just have to be a great academic school. You don't just have to be a school that gives back to the community. You can be good in football, too. And so these kids understand that, and I think they've made a big commitment to all of those things.
Offensively, the Eagles last year were better, averaged 25 points a game. You and I have talked before about college football and the current state of the game. It's clearly offense. 30 points a game is usually a good equation to victory. What are your thoughts heading into the opener about where you project offensively?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to, you know, Meter, I don't really get into all that. I think we have to, look, what we have to be offensively is we have to play a clean game. We have to control the things that we can control, right? The snap count, like staying on sides,
right,
and lining up correctly, and you know, catching the football, you know, communicating up front, you know, making the right read, getting us into the right play, running the right route at the right depth, you know, understanding exactly what you have to do each and every play. You know, these guys, a lot of these guys across the country, not just at BC, are very results oriented. You know, and we've got to get them to be more continue to get them to be more process oriented. If you're in the first quarter and you're thinking about the fourth quarter and what the score is, that's the wrong way to approach it. And don't dwell on something that happened that wasn't very good, because it's an imperfect game. And so, you know, I think if those guys, you know, really adopt that theme and that mindset, I think we'll be in good shape.
Flipping the other side of the ball on defense, it kind of plays into what we talked about earlier. You get a lot of experience in that group. But it's time for them to elevate.
Yeah. You know, look, I think they've had it. When we first started in the spring, I would say it didn't look great, you know. And as the spring went on, it got better and better to where you saw the spring game, and I actually thought that they kind of dominated the spring game. Now the spring game was kind of watered down from a schematic standpoint, but they dominated it. And that has, you know, in some ways, not every single day, because the offense is explosive, but, you know, that has carried over to training camp. You know, they learn the system. The coaches did. We have a really strong defensive coaching staff. They've done a good job of teaching these kids the system. It's a different system. It's a very multiple system. It's not a system where you're just going to line up in two things and that's what's going to happen. No, you're going to have to learn different, you know, fronts and gap controls and different coverages and communication. And, you know, I think they've done a good job. Now, again, they've got to do a great job on Monday night of tackling in space, because this is a team, they get the ball in space, and if you miss a tackle, that could go to the hut. And so we have to do a good job of tackling in space, and we have to do a great job of controlling our gaps in a running game. And I think if we do that, and maybe we can get the ball away from them a little bit, then, you know, we'll have a shot.
It's going to be a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun here at the Stockyard on Market Street in Brighton. First time here at the Stockyard, Bill?
Second.
Yep. See, there you go.
Came the other night. With my friend Doug Marone.
With Doug Marone, who's here with his lovely wife, Helen.
He came. We had a cheeseburger.
Pretty good, right?
Well, I had a cheeseburger. He might have had a salad. But,
you're working on your diet. You told me that.
We were scouting the place out for the big BC football show.
Of course. That's good pre-scouting. I love
That's
it.
That's right.
Leave no stone unturned.
Absolutely. Page right out of your playbook, Pete.
That's right.
We are going to take a timeout coming up after this break. We'll be joined by BC Athletic Director Blake James on the BC Football Show presented by Bud Light.
Some days you hit snooze, but not today. Today you have to go on a run to get burgers for the tailgate. You've got to haul something heavy, a cooler stocked with Bud Light. When you've got beer and football, nothing is hard. Until the other team scores. Bud Light. Easy to drink. Easy to enjoy. Enjoy responsibly. 21 plus. Copyright 2024 Anheuser-Busch. Bud Light Beer. St. Louis, Missouri.
Hey, Eagles fans. Come and enjoy one of Metro West's hidden gems at Shining Rock Golf Club. Shining Rock is one of the premier public golf courses in New England. And now open our new 9-hole par 3 course, the Acorn. At only 867 yards, the Acorn provides a great opportunity to work on chipping and putting. Book your tee time by calling 508-234-0400 or visit their website at shiningrock.com. Go Eagles!
Hey there, football fans. Whether you're cheering for the home team or visiting from out of town, Hilton Garden Inn offers you the perfect choice of comfort and convenience. Spacious rooms, modern amenities, and a location that's just a short drive from Boston College. And don't forget to grab a delicious breakfast at our on-site restaurant, Punch Bowl, before you head to the stadium. Visit bostonbrooklime.hgi.com to book your stay today and get ready to elevate your game day. It's more than a hotel. It's your touchdown for an unforgettable Boston College football weekend.
Hey, Doug Flutie here.
And I'm Flutie Foundation board member and autism advocate Mike Palmer. Join our mission of helping people and families with autism live life to the fullest. From being part of an event like the Flutie 5K for Autism, hosting a fundraiser, donating or supporting our Stars of the Spectrum's career pursuits, your involvement directly helps the autism community. Go to FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Everybody that's been a part of our foundation, thank you all so much.
Go Eagles!
It's always the nights that end too quickly that leave memories that last a lifetime. Whether it's sharing a toast after work to celebrate being one day closer to the weekend, or hitting your lucky Keno numbers and celebrating with a dance you should be embarrassed to do in public. The games from the Mass State Lottery are the ideal complement to that unforgettable night. So let's celebrate the nights that connect us, because the ones we spend together are the ones we win together. The Mass State Lottery. Celebrate the night.
Life is full of choices. How to manage your time, your energy, and even your money. But what if you were given the chance to stop and get rewarded for the way you want to bank? That's the power of Evolve Rewards Checking from The Village Bank. Rewarding banking for the way you choose to live. Visit village-bank.com and evolve today. The Village Bank. Member FDIC. Member DIF.
is the Boston College Football Show, presented by Bud Light. For more of tonight's show, let's go back to the Stockyard with your host, John Meter Burrell.
Go.
And welcome back to the BC Football Show, our premier edition. We'll be at the Stockyard in Brighton every Thursday night from 6 to 7. Come on down and meet the coach. You'll sign some autographs, right?
Oh, yeah, no question.
Right?
Yeah, I have such a great autograph. You've seen it.
I have seen it.
It's a terrible autograph.
It might need a little work.
But that's what
thanks,
makes it unique.
It's a little scribbly.
Appreciate
it's okay.
You're supposed to say, like, you know, your autograph's not that bad or something.
You're coachable, though.
Yeah.
Cronin signed one earlier.
Listen, the signature should be unique.
Yes.
Not necessarily legible, yeah. But unique.
Unique. Yeah. All right.
Mine's
all
definitely
right.
Unique.
Well, Blake James, BC Athletic Director, welcome to the table. How are you?
I'm great. My signature is unique.
I was just going to ask you that. What's your autograph like? But you've been a busy guy like Bill. February 9th was a great day in BC football annals. From that point on to here, as we are just a few days away from the opener, what's it been like in your world?
Oh, it's been great. It's the best time in the world to be an athletic director when you hire a football coach and they're undefeated.
That's exactly right.
Elevate to new heights. You've always talked about that. You feel like BC is trending in that direction?
No, I definitely do. Again, when you look at, you know, Bill here with football, and, you know, he was talking about, you know, what the guys did through the, you know, through the spring and then into the summer and just being around and seeing the work that they're putting in. But, you know, one of the things that really stuck out to me in this era of transfer portal and instant gratification and all that, we went through spring ball, and I'm anticipating some amount of guys are going to leave. It's just, it's happening everywhere in the country, and we don't have anyone leave. And again, I think it's a real credit to Bill and his staff and the guys really buying in to what was happening there in the spring. And you saw that just carry over. And then watching fall practice here, you know, has me excited to go into to Tallahassee and watch our guys go out there and fight on Monday night.
I listened to the most recent podcast, and I was really impressed with your management style, the fact that you put your coaches together routinely to discuss what's relevant and how they're solving problems. Now, is that something you came up with, or is it something that you developed over the years? Or?
Yeah, I don't know that I would take credit for that. But, you know, I think you have winners, and we're all competitive. We all want to win. And I think there's little things that everyone can take from what they hear from others. So Bill's not going to use the same X's and O's strategy that Acacia does with women's lacrosse or that Greg does with hockey, but when you're around those winners and what they're doing and what's the mindset and what are the keywords, you know, we're going to have the admissions people come in and talk with our coaches in the meeting we have, I think, next week. We get 30-some thousand kids who apply for 2,000 spot. What are they doing in their recruiting process to get kids to, you know, want to apply at BC? And so how can we take little things from whether it's a different sport or someone else on campus and then apply it to our situation? And again, it's going to vary from coach to coach, but I just like to bring those opportunities together and give people a chance to hear something that they might go, oh, you know what, that would work in my sport doing it this way.
Yeah, you mentioned admissions, and NIL must be just making people crazy in admissions.
I'm sure it is. I think it probably makes our coaches crazier, but it's the reality of where the game's gone.
Right.
And you have to embrace it. And I think what we've done a really good job of at Boston College is embracing it consistent with who we are as an institution. I think every school out there is doing it different. You know, you hear the house settlement and everyone's talking about what they're going to do and those different types of things. And what I said is, we're going to do it in a way that's consistent with who we are. You know, we have a great group, you know, in our collective with Friends of the Heights. And I think one of the real keys there is with that relationship is just the communication and them really buying into who we are at Boston College and how do we do it the BC way. And I think those are the things that we'll do. We got to do it in a way that puts us in a position, whether it's with football or anyone else, to be competitive. And in the sandbox we're in, that we're playing by the rules of that sandbox.
All right. And the follow-up question to that is, I'm not aware of it, but the NIL, it's for all sports, correct?
Or, oh, yeah, any of our student athletes can monetize.
But I imagine it's not a cookie-cutter solution.
No, and that's, you know, we had, it was a coaches meeting, I don't know, it was probably March, that, you know, Bill and Earl with men's basketball are dealing with a much different situation, and even Earl and Bill are dealing with a much different situation. So while we probably see more NIL conversations happening in football and men's basketball than some of our other sports, even football and men's basketball, they're talking about two different things. Now, again, I think there's things that, you know, Earl's dealing with that Bill, maybe Bill hadn't before, or Bill, you know, Bill's dealing with that Earl hadn't thought of. And so that was kind of the idea of that conversation, is let's have those conversations. But all of our coaches are dealing with it at some level. Some are bigger numbers, and some are getting pizzas from Crazy Dough.
And the fall season's off to a good start. That's a good pluck on your part. I'll take a pizza. The fall season's off to a good start. You got some highly ranked teams, women's soccer, new era there as well. Seems like it's going to be an impressive fall for BC.
I'm hoping. Again, we go out to, play the game and do the best we can, and you're not going to win every game. I mean, anytime you go out there, I guess there's ties on occasion, but for the most part, one team's going to win and one team's not. And, you know, for me, it's, are we seeing improvement? You know, one of the things you touched on, women's soccer, they have 4 wins right now. I don't know how many they're going to have. They're kicking off here in about 40 minutes tonight. Hopefully they can keep it going. But it's a tough schedule. But what I want to see is, are they getting better? And what I really liked, from what Chris has done with the team, is they seem to be getting better. And that's all we can ask. If we can get better every single week, hey, the wins are going to come in time. Are they always going to be as many as we want? Who knows? But let's just make sure we're getting better. And then most importantly, I think for us at BC, is we're developing these young people and having them ready for life. Because at the end of the day, for most of them, sports is going to end after they're done at BC. And for all of them, sports is going to end at some point. And they want to be able to come back and look at what we, really instilled in them as young people at BC, and being men and women for others. And, that's an important part of the whole experience.
Now, I'm involved with the varsity club, and of course that's all varsity sports, and we last year inducted some pretty impressive people. I'm just blown away by the success that the women have enjoyed over extended period of time, and that the women's sports at Boston College are remarkable. And what's the key? Is there one?
I'm trying to figure that out, and again, that goes back to your question on the, on bringing the coaches together. It's, what isn't that secret sauce? And, how do we apply that across the board? Because again, when I think, if you look at it, we can be better than what we've been over the last 10 years, without a doubt in my mind. And in some of those, it's a little bit further along, and in some, we got a ways to go, but we want to be all aligned and going in the same direction and working on elevating, the heights to new heights.
And before we hit our next break, Blake, I want to get to BC tickets, still available, of course. Football opener, September 7th against Duquesne.
People need to jump on. Last time I talked with you on Bill's podcast, we had $99 tickets. Those are sold out.
Oh,
good
all
news.
Right.
Good news. News is we still have a deal.
Power of marketing.
$175
there
tickets.
There you go.
Podcast.
Good job, Meter.
Yeah, so the podcast put us out over the top. There,
right,
the $99
there.
Tickets sold out, but the good news is we still got $175 tickets, so at $25 a game, and there's probably not a better deal in town.
No question.
When you look at, the teams we have coming in from, the opener with Duquesne to Michigan State to, to Pitt, North Carolina, Louisville and Syracuse, it's a great schedule, and I encourage people to take advantage of that opportunity and come out and enjoy a beautiful day at Alumni Stadium.
Look forward to that. And 617-552 GoBC and BCEagles.com for more information.
Perfect.
Blake James, look forward to it. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys.
Thank
go
you,
Eagles.
Thanks. Have a great 2024. All right, Blake James, BC Athletic Director on the BC Football Show. More with Bill O'Brien as we preview Florida State coming up next from the Stockyard in Brighton.
Some days you hit snooze, but not today. Today you have to go on a run to get burgers for the tailgate. You've got to haul something heavy, a cooler stocked with Bud Light. When you've got beer and football, nothing is hard. Until the other team scores. Bud Light. Easy to drink. Easy to enjoy. Enjoy responsibly. 21 plus. Copyright 2024 Anheuser-Busch. Bud Light Beer. St. Louis, Missouri.
Hi, this is Paul Sullivan. Vehicle maintenance may be the last thing on your mind, but cars do need regular checkups. Come into any Sullivan Tire and our experts will let you know what looks okay or what may need attention. You decide what fits within your budget. Get the peace of mind that you deserve at a price you can afford.
Thanks, Paul. Make an appointment online by visiting SullivanTire.com. And go BC Eagles!
A new era of BC football is here, led by first-year head coach Bill O'Brien.
Catch the action this fall with tickets starting as low as $10 for select games. Group tickets are also available, providing exclusive experiences, including on-field access for your youth team or organization. Don't miss your chance to be part of the excitement on the Heights. Secure your seats to see Bill O'Brien and the Eagles by visiting bceagles.com. Check out Traxxas, the fastest name in radio control. They have high-performance RC cars and trucks for the whole family. Traxxas is the leader in hobby-class radio control fun. They even have waterproof electronics to keep the fun going year-round. Learn more about Traxxas at TRAXXAS.com and use their store locator to find a Traxxas dealer near you. Traxxas, the fastest name in radio control.
Hi, Tom Coughlin here. Can you imagine getting the news that your child has cancer? Each year, more than 15,000 kids across the U.S. are diagnosed with this disease. The Tom Coughlin J Fund's goal is to be there for these families so they can be there for their sick child. We offer assistance with household bills, financial coaching, and emotional support. We hope you will join us helping these families. We need you on our team. Give now at tcjfund.org.
Since 1970, the campus school at Boston College has been educating students ages 3 to 22 with extensive support needs, including complex medical challenges. Located on the BC main campus, our dedicated team of teachers, therapists, nurses, and volunteers work together to realize the potential of each student. You can help make a difference. Join us on Saturday, October 5th at 9 a.m. for the campus school 5K Run and Roll. Your support directly funds the technology, equipment, and materials our students deserve. Learn more at bc.edu/campus school.
This is the Boston College Football Show, presented by Bud Light. For more of tonight's show, let's go back to the Stockyard with your host, John Meter Burrell.
And welcome back to the BC Football Show. Eagles and Florida State, Monday night, 7 o'clock our broadcast time, 7:37 thereabouts kickoff. Long day on Monday. How do you manage that, Bill? Monday in Crawfordville, Florida, where BC stays, which is
Crawfordville?
Yes.
A lovely place.
About a half hour from Tallahassee.
Hey, man, we will embrace that. Wherever they tell us to stay, that's where we stay. We can't – remember, Pete, control what we can control.
My
can't
words
control
exactly.
Hotels.
My words exactly.
Can't control schedules.
We've had some interesting visits to
control what we can control.
That alligator in the pool last year. I've
stayed in a lot of places now.
I know you have. But does that disrupt the plan at all if you have a lot of time to wait for a game?
No. We have a very, a tried and true travel system that we really believe in. You know, how we travel, it's very, succinct and, they know where they're supposed to be, when they're supposed to be there, and there's plenty of time to get off their feet. And it's all about, it's not a field trip. You know what I mean? It's a trip. You're going down there to play a game And so, whether it's recovering or getting off your feet or meetings or a walkthrough or, pregame mass or pregame meal or, all those things, it's pretty much like clockwork. Before you know it, we'll be kicking off.
And you've been done enough of these. In the olden days, there were not a lot of night games. It was very hard to – they were kind of blind man's bluff. People didn't know. Now it's very systematic.
Yeah.
So no waste of time. I get a kick out of teams doing a walkthrough in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Like taking advantage of the time, get them off their feet, get them thinking, get them back off their feet.
Yeah.
Feed them, get them right. And it's a long, I recall as a player, it's a long day though.
Yeah. I mean, you have to, that's why as a coach, you have to have a balance of, you can't keep them busy the whole time for a night game, but you have to, you have to basically have it where, okay, take a nap here, but you're meeting here or you're walking through here, whatever it might be, you're eating here. It's very, very planned out. There's a lot of thought that goes into it. Our people have been working on travel probably since we got hired.
Yeah.
There's a lot that goes into it, and it'll be good. It'll be good. You guys will see it.
Yeah. Well, if I'm saying from an emotional standpoint, you get an opening day. You're on the road at a marquee location on national TV.
What more could you ask for, Pete?
I'm good for one play.
What?
I'm only good for one.
call a play play.
I'll go on the field.
Come on, Pete.
One play. But
you know, I have a lot of respect for you, Pete, but I would never do that to you.
You got me for 4 years, though.
Huh? 4 years.
You've always said you're good for one play. One's taking you up on it.
What exactly would you do in the game?
Not much.
You want to run down on a kickoff?
No. I just mean I'm thinking from a kid's perspective.
I asked him about calling a play.
It would be easy to get excited about this one.
Seriously, when you have a game like this as the opener, you know, your off season is very focused, and you know, it's just really a good off season. You know, even though you're a new staff and all that, these kids are very resilient. They've really bought into what we're teaching them and what we believe in, and a lot of that has to do with they know they're going down there to play in a game in an environment like you said that's one of the best environments in college football. And, they're excited about that. They're excited for the opportunity. So
now, do you teach them? I always hear people talking about, boy, it's loud and it's intimidating. And I'm saying, no, that's why you go to a place like BC, because you can play in those loud, intimidating places.
Yeah, I think if you're intimidated, then you're probably at the wrong spot. You know, you need to go maybe sign up for the Tiddlywink team. You know what I mean? This is what you're looking for. This is, you know, you go into these places and this is college football. This is having been fortunate enough to be in all these great places, whether I've coached, you know, in games at Alabama or Texas or Texas A&M or Florida or LSU or, you know, all the places, you know, even when we were at Georgia Tech and, you know, we would play Georgia at Georgia. I mean, that's what it's all about, right? That's what these kids are excited about. I mean, you know, everybody, it's the only game, you know, because it's a Monday night, because the pros open up the next week. So, you know, everybody will be watching. And again, like I go back to what I said before, I think our guys, their deal is going to be, they're going to be so excited. Can they control that? Can we help them as coaches to control that emotion and just play one play at a time? And if something in the game doesn't go their way, play the next play, because that's going to happen. If you have 170 total plays in a game, 150 total plays in a game, not every play is going to go your way. So how do you deal with the play that doesn't go your way? How do you deal with the adversity? Well, you adjust and you move on to the next play. That's the mentality we have to have. We can't be thinking about, oh, we got to go down there and win this game, and we got to go down there and win 10 games, and we got to do this, we got to do that. Let's play one play at a time. Let's do a good job of kind of being where our feet are and staying in a moment and do that. That's what it'll be all about.
It fascinated me watching Georgia Tech, Florida State at Dublin. I know you watched the game many times. Seven possessions for each side.
Yeah, it was. You're right.
Was the fewest Florida State has had in years.
Yeah, it's a very unique game
it
in
was
that regard.
Unique,
yeah.
Right?
You're exactly right, Meter.
My question is, how did Georgia Tech do it?
Yeah, look, they Georgia Tech did a good job of controlling the line of scrimmage. You know, they did. Georgia Tech's a good football team. They've got, a good offensive line and a good defensive line. And they did a good job of running the football, and they did a good job stopping the run. And then they tackled well, you know, and so for the most part. And then they were able to break off some long runs that didn't necessarily score, but they were 20 to 25-yard runs. And then, you know, Georgia Tech, the ball was on the ground a couple times. Georgia Tech got the ball back. You know, Georgia Tech fumbled the ball.
Right.
But they got the ball back. And, you know, and then when you look at Florida State, look, it was a very close game. It was a back-and-forth game. I mean, it came down to a 44-yard field goal, which was a big play in the game. Georgia Tech, on the previous play, lost 12 yards. So it would have been a 56-yard field goal. Then they threw a slip screen.
Yep.
To the boundary, and the guy went for 12 yards, made it a 44-yard field goal. So that was a huge play in that game, but that's the type of game it was.
Did you ever see a swinging gate?
Yes, I've seen a swinging gate, yes.
The swinging gate was executed by Florida State.
What, the deuce?
They definitely present a lot of issues when it comes to the extra point team, you know, the field goal team. They can line up in different, what we call muddle huddles, different formations. And we've spent a lot of time this week going through that, because it's going to be something new, and we just got to be communicating and get it lined up right.
The thing that fascinated me about that game, looking at it from a statistical standpoint, was I watched the tape, and I thought that Georgia Tech would absolutely dominate time of possession. It was even.
Yeah.
It was very deceptive.
It was.
Very deceptive.
Yeah.
I mean, but the way they went about it. And now this kind of leads us into this week's game. Simply put, Georgia Tech punched Florida State right in the nose and Florida State didn't respond. I think this week they probably will when you do the same.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's Florida State. I mean, look, they're a top 10 team. They were undefeated last year. They got a great coaching staff. They got a lot of really good players. Again, the big thing for us is, you know, when we go out to play the game, and let's just say it's our kickoff team, all right? We're kicking off to Florida State, and I am the R4 on the kickoff team. What is my job? I know that they run one of two returns, and what is my job? And if everybody can take that mentality, I'm the three technique. It's the first play of the game. Right. Here's the call from Coach Lewis. All right, I'm Drew Kendall. I'm the center. Here's the first play call from us, and here's my assignment. How am I going to perform my role, my job at the highest level on each and every play? I think that's a big, big mentality for us. You know, I think that's where we have to be locked in and focused.
Yeah, it's fascinating to see what's going to happen. We'll get more into the game with Bill O'Brien on the BC Football Show after this timeout. This is the BC Football Show from the Stockyard in Brighton, presented by our friends at Bud Light.
Some days you hit snooze, but not today. Today you have to go on a run to get burgers for the tailgate. You've got to haul something heavy, a cooler stocked with Bud Light. When you've got beer and football, nothing is hard. Until the other team scores. Bud Light. Easy to drink. Easy to enjoy. Enjoy responsibly. 21 plus. Copyright 2024 Anheuser-Busch. Bud Light Beer. St. Louis, Missouri.
Mass General Brigham Sports Medicine. Personalized sports medicine care driven by research and determination. Top specialists who understand your athletic dreams, goals, and the need to get back to them. Together, we'll write your comeback story. Mass General Brigham Sports Medicine. Call 877-SPORT-01 to start your comeback story today.
Hey, Doug Flutie here.
And I'm Flutie Foundation board member and autism advocate, Mike Palmer. Join our mission of helping people and families with autism live life to the fullest. From being part of an event like the Flutie 5K for Autism, hosting a fundraiser, donating or supporting our Stars of the Spectrum's career pursuits, your involvement directly helps the autism community. Go to FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Everybody that's been a part of our foundation, thank you all so much.
Go Eagles.
Boston College 1992 alum Matt McGovern is the proud owner of the McGovern Auto Group, Boston's fastest growing family of car dealerships. Matt is proud to serve BC, its students, alumni, and their families. With 26 dealerships across the Boston Metro and over 7,000 cars to choose from, don't settle for a new vehicle from just anyone. Join your fellow Eagles, Matt McGovern, Mark Walker, and Tom Kilgariff at McGovern Auto Group. Visit them online, McGovernAuto.com, and go Eagles!
Friends of the Heights is Boston College's official name, image, and likeness collective, serving 120 athletes on 9 teams and growing. Friends of the Heights prepares BC athletes to serve our community and to improve their brand, all while helping our team succeed. Giving to Friends of the Heights directly impacts our team's successes. Help our students. Help our teams. Help Boston College. For more information, please visit friendsoftheheights.com.
Life is full of choices. How to manage your time, your energy, and even your money. But what if you were given the chance to stop and get rewarded for the way you want to bank? That's the power of Evolve Rewards Checking from the Village Bank. Rewarding banking for the way you choose to live. Visit village-bank.com and evolve today. The Village Bank. Member FDIC. Member DIF.
This is the Boston College Football Show, presented by Bud Light. For more of tonight's show, let's go back to the Stockyard with your host, John Meter Perrell.
I bet.
Every year was somebody
turnstile.
Yeah.
Oh, wrong. And welcome back to the BC Football Show. Great to have you with us. Bill O'Brien, first year coach. You know, you think back to your college experiences. You were at Penn State for 2 years.
Yep.
You won 15 games there out of 24, which I thought was one of the great coaching jobs ever because you came into an unenviable position, replacing a legend in Joe Paterno.
Yes, yep.
And we all know what happened off the field. But
you've talked about that experience a lot. You learn from it. Do you take that experience and you sprinkle it around BC as well?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think like every experience, you know, those of us in coaching, you know, that's really what it's all about, especially when you have head coaching experience. When you get your first head coaching job, you think you know a lot, and you realize very quickly you don't know that much. And right. so if you do a good job of documenting the areas where you've got to get better and, you know, how to improve, I think that's the big key. And so when I went to Penn State, there was a lot going on, and it was definitely learning on the job, you know, because I came from the Patriots to a difficult situation. I had a lot of great people around me, great coaching staff. The players there were awesome, and that's really the first thing that I learned was, you know, how important the people are. You know, the people that surround you, the support staff, the coaching staff, everybody, you know, the administration, and then obviously the players, you know, putting together a really good group of players, and that was the key. And then from there, it's like, okay, the organization of the organization, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like making sure you're on top of that, and the schedules. People, I remember Mike Vrabel and I used to talk about this all the time. When he got the Titans job, you know, we would talk, and he would always tell me, like, man, every day you got to make a schedule. Like, yeah, scheduling is like a big part of, yeah, you know, of being a head coach. You have to, you got to be on top of the schedule every single day. I still work at that, you know.
Yep.
I'm still working at that. But, yeah, so the experience was really important.
You said something last week which kind of was kind of an epiphany. I'd never heard it before. But looking at the diversity of your staff in terms of experience.
Yeah.
You said, I spent a lot of time coaching my coaches.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what I meant by that was these guys are really good coaches, but as a head coach, I think it's really important that, you know, you're not in every meeting. I'm not a micromanager. I am not a micromanager, but we meet as a staff at least once a day, sometimes twice a day, and it's all about, like, the vision that you have in all three phases. This is the vision that we all need to have, not just me. When we leave the room, we are a unified voice to the players. Like, this is how we want our defense to look. This is how we want our offense to look. This is what we believe in the four phases of special teams. And so, like, that's the big thing to me. If they don't have the vision for what you see and what you want the program to look like on the field, recruiting, all of it, like, then you're not really doing your job. So I think that's what I meant by that. Our coaches are very good, but hey, look, this is what I'm looking for in a general sense. You know, look, I was fortunate. I've worked for some awesome coaches. I've worked with some great coaches. And I've learned a lot from those coaches. And I think that was one of the things that I tried to bring to this program, is all the things that I've learned, and try to talk to our guys about those things.
I thought that I had never heard that before. I thought it was like an epiphany. I went, wow, okay, that tells me something about the culture of this coaching.
Yeah, like, I'll give you an example. Like, what I meant by that was, like, when we went to our first spring practice, well, before we went to that, the coaching staff, myself, we went over to Fish, and we walked through practice. Everything from the strength coaches were there, everything from pre-practice walkthroughs, this is how this is going to work, to how we stretch out, to individual drills, to group drills, to team drills, to 7-on-7. And so this is how, you know, we want this to look. That's what I mean by that. Like, you can't just, like, go to practice and, you know, just let everybody do what they want to do. You have to be organized. And then, you know, what's important? Well, what's important is, you know, to have at Boston College, as you know, to have a physically tough, smart football team that plays really good in critical moments. If we can get that done, like Blake said, try to get better and better every week at those types of things, I think that'll be a successful season for us.
Something you've hammered home in the preseason has been discipline. And
yeah,
let's keep our let's not hit the ground with penalties. You had 18 against Florida State.
Yeah.
Players have talked about, you've harped on it. How do you avoid that happening again?
Look, you know, sometimes as a coach, once the game starts, it's hard to – you know, you can control what you can control. These guys have to be focused. We've talked a lot about it. There's been, you know, sometimes some punitive measures for jumping off sides or you know, false starts or neutral zone infractions or too many men on the field or not enough men on the field or whatever. You know, You know, but what I'm really talking about is, like, when we play the game, we want to look like a really tough Boston College, a hard-nosed BC football team. We don't want to look like some of those teams did last week where the one kid spit on the other kid and the other kid did this to the other kid. Like, that's not what we're all about.
Right.
We do not want to jump offside. That will make my head spin around. But that might happen. But let's just play tough, hard-nosed football and no stupid penalties, no personal fouls that hurt the team, no taunting. You know, things like that, no throwing of a punch. Like, we're not doing that. That's not who we are. That's not what we're all about. And so that's really what I mean by discipline.
Is that kind of we've seen more of it over the last couple of years. Is that because the kids are changing? Is it the way they're, I don't know, is it society or?
No, I think, like, when you think about it, I don't know. I mean, I'm not an expert on those things, but I do think that kids haven't changed all that much. What has changed is some of the things around them, right? The social media, there's a lot of things that take place in a football program that help us recruit, that, you know, help us sell the program, but at the same time can be individualized, and we have to be careful about that. You know, we're very, very into our what we put out on social media. I'm sure you guys have probably seen it. You know, we do a lot on social media,
yeah.
And the kids love it, but we got to be really, like, it's not about the brand of the it's about the brand of Boston College. The brand of the student athlete is really up to the student athlete. So when we're in the environment of BC, you know, it's about the team, and so that's what we try to sell. You know, we're not 100% accurate on that. I mean, sometimes it is individualized, but I think that's what happens sometimes. These kids are trying to make highlight moments or do things, and, you know, that's just how it is. But kids are kids. They're not any different than they were when I started coaching 30 years ago. You know, it's just we have to do a good job of teaching them.
Florida State's quarterback, DJ, ready, Pete?
Ugalele.
No.
Ugalele, come on, I got it.
No. Ui Ungalele.
Oh, then you're going to be saying it.
I'll say it. We thought we had lost him when he left Clemson and went to Oregon State, just for the last name alone. They were calling DJU on the ESPN broadcast.
I'm going for it. If it's on ESPN, it's good for me.
DJU. But DJU has some interesting tricks in his bag. He's a tough guy at 6'4", 250, can run a little bit, throws it up for grabs a little bit. He's had kind of a roller coaster of a career. What's your take on him?
He's a good player. I mean, he's a guy, like you said, he's a big guy, physical guy. He can run. He's a good leader. You know, when he was at Clemson, he was thinking about transferring to Alabama, so we studied him a lot while I was at Alabama. He's a good player. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, we've got to do a good job of making sure that, you know, we're on top of our calls, right? Because he wants to play fast. He gets him in and out of the huddle fast, or he goes no huddle. And so we've got to do a good job of being lined up and being ready to go.
Yeah, not an easy guy to bring down.
No, sure. No, big guy. Definitely big physical guy.
I think you call him like an avatar when BC played Clemson, right?
He was avatar-esque, yes.
interesting description, but yes, he should be a good quarterback matchup on Monday night at Florida State. And coming up on the BC Football Show, we're going to try something different. We're going to call this Cronin's Corner.
Uh-oh.
You get to break down Pete Cronin's keys to the game.
All right, I get to give you the keys, huh?
Let's see how close you
Where'd you come up with this? I wasn't consulted on this. Sure.
It worked so well in rehearsal. We're going to try this, Coach. You ready to analyze his keys to the game?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's do it. Coming up next on the BC Football Show from the Stockyard in Brighton.
Some days you hit snooze, but not today. Today you have to go on a run to get burgers for the tailgate. You've got to haul something heavy, a cooler stocked with Bud Light. When you've got beer and football, nothing is hard. Until the other team scores. Bud Light. Easy to drink. Easy to enjoy. Enjoy responsibly. 21 plus. Copyright 2024 Anheuser-Busch. Bud Light Beer. St. Louis, Missouri.
Hi, this is Paul Sullivan. Vehicle maintenance may be the last thing on your mind, but cars do need regular checkups. Come in to any Sullivan Tire and our experts will let you know what looks okay or what may need attention. You decide what fits within your budget. Get the peace of mind that you deserve at a price you can afford.
Thanks, Paul. Make an appointment online by visiting SullivanTire.com. And go BC Eagles!
Hi, Tom Coughlin here. Can you imagine getting the news that your child has cancer? Each year, more than 15,000 kids across the U.S. are diagnosed with this disease. The Tom Coughlin J Fund's goal is to be there for these families so they can be there for their sick child. We offer assistance with household bills, financial coaching, and emotional support. We hope you will join us helping these families. We need you on our team. Give now at tcjfund.org.
Eagles fans, do you have money questions? The team at Empower can help you tackle them so you have a clear understanding of where your finances are today and where they're headed. Plus, with the free Empower personal dashboard, you can link your accounts to see your net worth, plan for retirement, create budgets, and more. It's time to change the game and take control of your financial future. Are you ready to empower what's next? Make the right call at empower.com and get your free Empower personal dashboard today.
Mass General Brigham Sports Medicine. Personalized sports medicine care driven by research and determination. Top specialists who understand your athletic dreams, goals, and the need to get back to them. Together, we'll write your comeback story. Mass General Brigham Sports Medicine. Call 877-SPORT-01 to start your comeback story today.
Life is full of choices. How to manage your time, your energy, and even your money. But what if you were given the chance to stop and get rewarded for the way you want to bank? That's the power of Evolve Rewards Checking from The Village Bank. Rewarding banking for the way you choose to live. Visit village-bank.com and evolve today. The Village Bank. Member FDIC. Member DIF.
BC and Florida State showdown, Labor Day night, only game in town. Can't wait. We'll be going down on Sunday, and can't wait for that as well. Our first trip with Bill O'Brien. Many road trips in our future. Bill, this is our Cronin's Corner maiden voyage. We're going to call Pete's Keys to the Game Cronin's Corner, and you're going to coach him up and see if he's on. See, he's on the Bill O'Brien level of
is this
the
like
keys
the
are.
Is this like the newlywed game?
Yes. Where he does the, yes.
You got to hold the sign up.
Hold up the sign.
Yes. Pete's an Aries. He likes,
all right, Pete. Here we go.
He likes long walks on the beach. what do you have for us, Pete, for your keys to the game?
Well, unfortunately, because we don't know anything about Boston College, what we don't know, we don't know. You know, we know a few things, but in terms of game day, but we do know a few things about their opponent. And the focus, in, from my perspective, kind of it is very cliche. Much of it is cliche. I won't dwell on the cliches too much. But the one thing that was important to me was how Boston College responds when they. I have every confidence in the world that Boston College is going to go down to Florida and going to punch them right in the nose. And the difference between. Historically between a Boston College football team and teams like Florida State, they want to make it a track meet. BC has to make it a fist fight in a phone booth. And if it's a track meet, it's going to be a long day. If it's a fist fight in the phone booth, it's going to be like it was last week. The question is, BC is going to punch Florida State in the nose. What happens when Florida State punches back?
Yeah, no, I think the way you described it is exactly right. And it kind of, you know, that's, you know, what BC football is all about. I mean, when we go down there, we have to do a great job defensively, like I said, of doing our job. So when the ball is thrown out to the perimeter, we've got to do a good job of tackling people in space. It's when they make the first guy miss or the guy misses the tackle. Now,
trouble.
Like you said, that's the track meet. So can we affect them? Can we affect them a little bit to make that pass a little bit later, or a little bit higher, or a little bit lower? And then can we go tackle the guy? That'll be big. And then up front on offense, we have a good offensive line. They have to play to that level. They're a good offensive line. We got Ozzie Trapillo, Jack Conley, Drew Kendall, Logan Taylor, Dwayne Alec, Jude Bowery. I mean, these guys can play football, and they've had a good camp, and you know, they have to win their individual battles and their combo battles, if that makes sense. And
right.
we've got to do a good job of that. And then offensively, we've got to be able to, like I said, establish the running game. And then when our guys catch the ball, we've got to do a good job of getting yards after the catch. You know, that's going to be big. The only thing that we haven't talked about is special teams. they have some really good returners. Their punt returner, Malik Benson, was at Alabama when I was there. He transferred to Florida State. And then their kickoff returner is a transfer from Indiana where he returned three kickoffs for touchdowns at Indiana. His name's Jalen Lucas. We have a big challenge ahead of us to control their returners. That involves our kickers, too. Our kickers, you know, need to do a great job, our punter and our place kicker, of placing the ball where it's supposed to be so that these guys can go down and cover kicks. So, yeah, it's a challenge. But that's life's a challenge, right, Pete? Yeah. So this is what it's all about. Every day's a challenge, right? So let's go and let's see if we can meet the challenge. And then, you know, we'll flip the page after the game and turn to Duquesne. But before that, we got to go down there and see what we are. See if we can go down there and meet the challenge.
Pete's a big special teams guy, former Redskins special teams captain. You got a new kicker this year, at least initially, in Luca Lombardo. What went into that decision?
Well, Liam's been out, right? So Liam's had some soft tissue injuries. And Luca's done a good job. Luca in the first scrimmage, I think he was perfect, made all his kicks. He's got a really strong leg. He was a soccer player at Syracuse and transferred to us. And I like his demeanor. I like the way he operates. He's kind of a cool customer. It seems that way. We put him in pressure situations in practice. He's done a good job. And he's a talented kicker. We have good specialists. You know, Liam, when he gets back, he can kick. Our punter, Sam Candati, is from Australia. He's a talented punter. We have a backup punter who I think eventually will be a really good punter. Ivan Savenko, he's a very good punter. And so, you know, we have a really good long snapper, Bryant Worrell. So we have some good guys as specialists. And, you know, our returners, that's going to be big too. You know, I'm not going to talk about all the returners because we have a few that'll be out there, but can those guys make yards? Can we block for them and can they, you know, make some yards in the return game?
Candati is an interesting cat. When you watch him, of course, it's Australian football. He takes the ball and he kind of looks like he's going to run with it.
Yeah.
Then he pops it and it's not perfect spiral. It rolls. Yeah. It does all kinds of crazy stuff. Does he have that option to tuck and go? When he stresses that edge.
I'm not answering that, Pete Cronin. You're a BC guy. You're not supposed to ask me that type of question.
Well, I threw it out there.
No,
I know there are perimeters.
There's
now.
There's no way he can tuck it and go. We do not let him do that.
No green lights for Kid Dottie.
Well, just don't even worry about him when he rolls out. Like, he cannot tuck and go.
Well, every time I see him, I say he's tempting.
He's a great kid. I wouldn't say he's very fleet of foot. So
that's why I asked the question. Take that off the table.
All right, in our final 2 minutes, we'll transition from that. Summarize Pete's well-done keys to the game.
Yeah, no, I think Pete brought the physicality. That's what it's going to be. But again, you know, I really harp on this with our team. Like, you know, can we play a clean game? Can we control what we can control, right? Take care of the football on offense. No TFLs, no sacks. Let's move the ball. Let's positive yards. The ball's going forward towards their goal line. You know what I mean? That's going to be a big thing. Defensively, tackling is going to be big. Can we affect the quarterback? You know, you've asked me a lot on the podcast about, you know, pressure on the quarterback. We can't let him stand back there. He's a pro type quarterback. He can deliver the ball when he has time, and so we've got to do a good job of that, of trying to affect him. And you know, special teams, we have to do a good job of controlling their returners. And we got to be aggressive on special teams. You know, because I think Matt Turn, our special teams coordinator, is a really good coach, and he's done a good job preparing these guys. So I'm looking forward to watching them play.
You come from a long line of guys who preach special teams.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to – yeah, I think it's a big, big part of this game, every game.
I noticed every coach talks about special teams and being a priority, but most of them in the back of their minds treat special teams like a necessary inconvenience.
Not me. You've been to practice.
That's why I mentioned it.
Yeah.
It's a whole different deal.
No, it's big. Yeah, it's very important. I mean, you know, look, special teams, you know, affects the field position, right?
Absolutely.
It's also responsible for points, field goals, extra points. It's, you know, you can change a game with a block punt. And so, you know, I think special teams are huge. And when it comes to the field position, that's going to be a big part of this game.
You're speaking Cronin's language. Bill, this is a lot of fun.
That's been awesome. Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much.
Bill O'Brien.
Reaching
out to shake my hand.
Coach, thanks for coming.
We'll see you next Thursday here at the Stockyard.
BC, Florida State, Monday night. He's Pete Cronin. I'm John Mita Parrell. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Have a great rest of your week.
Listening to the Boston College Football Show presented by Bud Light. Join us on Thursday nights throughout the season from the Stockyard in Brighton. The Boston College Football Show has been sponsored by Bud Light. Easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Please enjoy responsibly. Empower. Take control of your financial future to empower what's next. Mass General Brigham, the official medical provider of Boston College Athletics. McGovern Auto Group, the official auto group of Boston College Athletics. Rodenheim. Trusted plumbing, heating, AC, and electrical experts for over 90 years. The proceeding has been a Van Wagner presentation of the Boston College Athletics Sponsorships Radio Network.